Everyone wants to belong. In fact, from an early age, we take the form of other people around us in order to belong to certain crowds. I remember even as a high schooler, and I've shared this in other contexts in teaching, I remember as a high schooler taking the form, as a freshman in high school, taking the form of a senior who was the guy, right? He had the girlfriend, he had the way he dressed, he had his mannerisms, he seemed to be really popular. So I took on that form to kind of fit in, to be like that guy. From an early age, we do that. We have this desire in us sometimes to want to be a part of the in crowd, to somehow connect ourselves to the popular people, to jump inside those really great circles that we at least see as being great from the outside looking in. The truth is, we are created with a craving, a need, a desire for connection and belonging. And if the recent years in our culture and society have proven anything, it's that we crave it. Next generations even. Many people think of them as being very technologically driven, but actually what you find in studies is that they're craving connection and belonging, and they're realizing that technological devices and being on their phones all the time is actually not fulfilling the void that they have in their hearts. The challenge they have is they haven't seen it well modeled, and they don't know how to do it. In fact, I read a recent study that some in the Gen Z generation in particular, they crave the connection, but they're not even sure how to give an appropriate hug to someone. They've never experienced it. Parents are willing to do a lot to help their kids belong. We want our kids to be liked, but we want them to be connected with other people. Kids will be involved in a lot of things, and parents will go to a lot of great lengths to be involved. They'll adjust their scheduling and really drive their schedule based on the kids' involvement. They'll give a lot of financial commitment. They'll even help their kids try to meet the requirements that are needed to make a certain group of people. Check this out.
All right, parents, listen up. Congratulations on your son making this elite travel baseball team. Your weekends belong to me.
Yeah, what's the name of our team?
We're the Thunderbat, Sharkfin, Dirt Devil, Long Bombers.
That's like four names.
First tournament is a regional in South Florida.
Florida.
It will cost $27,000 per family. From there, we'll head to Costa Rica and Ecuador for two more tournaments.
I didn't know a passport was going to be part of it. I don't have a passport.
If we win the second tournament, we get an automatic bid into the Travel Baseball National Championship Elite Sectional Silver Bracket.
Oh, wow. That'll be
a big... Which is a qualifier for the World Series Travel Baseball International Tournament of Baseball.
Where's that?
Mumbai.
I don't know if we can commit to that much.
What's that? That's... You don't know, Jeff?
It's just I have a job.
Well, you have to call in, won't you? Possibly quit. This is your life now.
Okay. I don't know if I have enough on my credit card to pay for all this.
I don't know if I have to...
Take out a loan, Alan. All right, put a lien on your house. Right, you need bats, gloves, cleats, pants, jerseys, specialty jerseys, carts, tents, chairs, speakers.
Ooh.
This is basically the major leagues.
Is it? Okay.
All right, here's our roster. Braxton, Jackson, Paxton, Easton, Landon with a Y, Braden, Jaden, Caden, other Braxton, other Jackson, Knox, and Kai. All right, any questions?
I have just a few.
Jeff, take a couple laps.
Will do.
Sounds about right, right? Now, I'm not suggesting that kids shouldn't be involved in anything. It's just an example. I'm not minimizing that connections can have benefits for kids and even for the parents who are associated together on teams just like that. But the shift of the commitment of activities and opportunities like these has been over time in the last several years, and perhaps in our culture, it begins to show a highlight of a shift away from God. Just a perspective for you, and I'm maybe processing a little bit out loud with you today, that there was a time when being a part of the church, and I don't just mean a local church, but the church with a capital C, the body of Christ, a local group of believers, there was a time when being a part of the body of Christ was a priority. The body of Christ was the center of life, not just in attending church, but in the depth of relationships and belonging to one another. At risk today of sounding like the old church curmudgeon, there was a time when the church mattered more to people. Not just to attendance, not, not just to numbers, but involvement and engagement and depth in relationships. Over time, the world has created more opportunities for connection and community, and some of those things are really enjoyable. People took on the opportunity elsewhere. They began to realize that their kids could have opportunities and connections, and maybe even some people were convinced that they were somehow missing out on something by not being involved in it. And then we ultimately substituted other options for what can only be really accomplished by being a part of the church. Affluence created options. Money makes things more affordable, which means our weekends can be spent in a lot of different ways. Prosperity, particularly in American culture, created a lack of dependence on God. Most people have what they need, and many people even have what they want. So it made us independent. Add in addition to that, and I'm not sure where I land on this, but the ability in most churches to slip in and slip out, going unnoticed without any real need to connect. The larger the church, perhaps the easier it even is to slip in, go unseen, no accountability, no building relationships, no having to respond in any sort of way. Maybe we've even softened how we encourage people to respond. Where salvation can be texted in or just a simple hand raise rather than someone truly responding to the call of God. Where involvement is not required. A few years ago, in addition to everything that's happening, online church became a substitute for the depth of Christ-centered community. Now, hear my heart. Don't get me twisted and don't misquote me. I'm all for online church when it's for people who are sick and working and out of town. I also understand that online capabilities can help people who may be exploring faith, who may be exploring Christianity, or who may be trying to figure out what is the vibe of a local church before visiting. But be honest, pajamas, coffee in hand, laying in bed, sitting on the couch, the ability to walk back and forth to the fridge at the same time, lends to no accountability, no one to really encourage you, no one to really challenge you. That's not the church with the true depth that God intended. The opportunity to belong that was created and backed by the Almighty God is the one opportunity that has seemed to become so optional to people. The truth is, the church was never just a building. The church was never just a building, never just a place to go. The original language, the word for church in the New Testament that's often used is the word ecclesia. And it was never used in the New Testament to mean just a place or a building. There is much greater depth in what happens in the church, the people of God. Let's not forget today that Jesus died for the church. Now, I know that we often make salvation very individualistic. We're a very independent, do things on our own type of society. And while Jesus died for each one of us to be saved, His death made it possible for the Holy Spirit to birth the church. In fact, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, where Paul writes about marriage, he says, "Husbands are to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her." In Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said, "I will build my church." It's not just one person. It's not just a few people. It is the group, the collective of the church that is both believers now and believers for all time. That all people who have believed in God for all time are part of the same family. Hence the reason why the writer of Hebrews said that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We may live under the new covenant, salvation by grace through faith in Jesus, but every person who has ever believed in God is a part of the church eternal. I want to challenge your perspective on the church today. You see, it's the church that is called out from among the world. Much like what you're reading in the people called the Israelites in the Old Testament, The church is a group of people who have responded to the call of God, the gospel, and are now we are living a different way, a way of life that is different from the world around us. Because ultimately, God wants to work in and through this group of people, the church, to show the world a revelation of Himself, with the desire that everyone would receive His love, hear His truth, and be saved. It is the church that is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He, God the Spirit, dwells in Jesus followers. God's presence is among us in a moment like this, and individually and as a group. But the beauty that He not only dwells with us, but He dwells in us to lead our lives. That no longer is it just the tent that has been made to walk into, that only the high priest can go into once a year to present sacrifice before God. But now we have direct access and connection to God Himself as the church. It's the church that is a spiritual fellowship. The word in the New Testament for fellowship is the word koinonia. In the original Greek language, it means that we share in common faith, that we share in a common salvation, having been saved the same way, that we all have, as being Jesus followers, common desires. We want to honor God. We want to follow Jesus with every fiber of our being. And we have now a common mission that not only we live for God, but that we inspire other people to follow Jesus as well. In many ways, we have this invisible fellowship, meaning that we're all united by bonds that can't be seen with the natural eye. And yet we also have this visible fellowship that as we come together, even more so as we see the day of the Lord approaching, that we're able to spur one another on and motivate one another and encourage one another in the journey. It's the church that is the body of Christ. Colossians says that Christ is the head of the church. And 1 Corinthians speaks plainly by the Apostle Paul's writings of being the body of Christ. That we're all part of the same body. And much like our physical human body, we can't say to some part of it that we don't need it. For years, there were doctors who thought there were organs in our bodies that really served no purpose. And now they've realized, wait a minute, they do. There are parts of your body that we may not have understood, but now we know that they serve a purpose. Scripture teaches us the same thing, that no part can say we're better than the other part. That in fact, some of the things that are less visible, some of the people that are not serving maybe in the capacity I am right now, are some of the most indispensable gifts that God gives. That they're so important to the body of Christ. That all members are part of the same body and that we're all moving together. It'd be kind of funny if I took a step this way and the rest of my body went that way. Look kind of weird. I don't even dance well. That wouldn't help, I can promise. But instead, we have the headship of Christ and we're all moving together under His headship and lordship. That the church as the body of Christ, much like our physical body, is a living, breathing organism through which Jesus reveals Himself and accomplishes His purposes. And when we're living as the church, the body of Christ, the way God intends, we are all gifted in some way and we bring all of those giftings together to function together, to minister even to one another. And we become a spiritual ministry that is equipped by God to impact the world around us. It's the church through which God does His work on earth. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, I'll quote it one more time. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." This picture that Jesus gives in Matthew 16, 18 is a picture not of being on the defensive, but on the offensive. That is the body of Christ, the living, breathing organism of the body of Christ. We are an army fighting spiritually and representing Christ in the physical. We are fighting in ways that we cannot even see and identify according to Ephesians chapter 6. And yet in the physical, we're also becoming the tangible hands and feet of Jesus reaching the world. We've said many times, the gospel is the hope of the world. It is the church that is the hope of the gospel. It is the church that carries the message of Christ. It is we, the church, who is going to be part of this end time move of the Holy Spirit and the move of revival and the move of the gospel being spread to every corner of the globe. And if it's not the church, then who is it? It's the church that preaches the truth. It's the church that is full of the Holy Spirit that leads to fruit in our own lives and an evangelism effort that happens into our world. I'm so proud to be a part of the Assemblies of God Fellowship for this very reason. That when our fellowship began in 1914, there were a group of people, about 300 in number, in Hot Springs, Arkansas, who said, "We commit ourselves to the greatest work of evangelism the world has ever seen. That it's not enough just that we know Jesus, but there are many, many, many more that need to know Jesus, and we will commit ourselves to spreading the name of Jesus in this world." That's why we're one of the largest sending organizations, missions organizations in the world, seeing millions upon millions. I think we're up now to 70 million plus people who are now part of the Assemblies of God Fellowship. There is no greater belonging than to Christ and His church. That's why we talk about taking next steps and jumping in deeper. That's why we talk about joining a team and serving, because we realize we make a difference when we focus on other people. We represent Jesus when we offer help and hope to a world that is lost and dying and hopeless. That's why we come together in serving on this campus, but we also come together in serving in our life circles and spreading the name of Jesus. It's why we come together in life groups to connect with other people, because we are created to live together in community. We connect through those teams when we serve, and we connect through the groups, and we connect through moments in life when it tends to throw us a curveball. We're better when we do life together. We're better when we're on the journey together. There's strength in the numbers of the body of Christ together in Him. There's a reason why we challenge you and work to equip you to love your neighbors and to reach your world, and that when you leave this campus, you're walking and driving into your mission field. There's no greater belonging than to the church. And I don't mean local church membership. I mean to the body of Christ, to Him and His church. Listen to me. When you're part of the church, you're part of much more than just an organization or a group of people. You're part of much more than just someone who does some good or lives in some moral way of life into the community. You do much more than just to serve others and give goldfish to the EPAC kids this morning. You can do all of those types of things in a lot of other places and with a lot of other people. You can have friendships and connections. You can do a lot of things like that in a lot of different opportunities out there. But I would remind you today, as Eugene Peterson said, church is not what we do. It is what God does through us. Church is not what we do. It is what God does through us, and we get to participate in it. Church isn't just a man-made organization. Church isn't just the place that we go on the weekends. The church is so much more than that. It is God's work. It's God's body. It's God's family. It's God's power. And it's God's mission to see this world saved through us. The church is God's work by God's power. And we get to be a part of it together. I can't express enough the benefits of this belonging to Christ and His body. There are too many to count. I think we can all recognize in moments like this when we're together in the church, we can sense His presence. In fact, one of my greatest prayers before every time we come together is, God, if Your presence is not evident, we're wasting our time. We're singing, and there may be some talent. We're speaking, and there may be some ability to do so. But ultimately, if the presence of God and the power of God are not at work, hearts will not be changed. And ultimately, God is not in the business of just coming together so we can check the box. God is in the business of changing people's lives. So we need the power of God to be evident, the presence of God to be evident when we are together. And I'm thankful that when we come together, there's a promise of Scripture that where two or three are gathered in His name, He will be in the midst of us. He's not just with me on the personal journey, but there's something synergistic and uniting about coming together. I love moments like this morning when we're singing and I can hear us singing together. I can hear us proclaiming the name of Jesus together. There's something about the synergy and the unity that comes when we're focused on God. When we talked about last week, when we're focused on God and His glory, Him receiving the glory. When we're not caught up in self, when we're not caught up in our own preferences, when we're not caught up about making the church like just another place, a restaurant that we go so we can give a Google review to say if it met exactly what we wanted it to be. But there's a synergy and a unity that comes when we're focused on God, when we're focused on praising the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when we're focused on His name being proclaimed and Him getting all the glory. There's something that happens. There's something that happens in the church, in the body of Christ, not just in the local church, but in the body of Christ when we worship together and we pray together and we study together and we fellowship together and we serve together. In Acts chapter 2, at the end of the chapter, we see at the beginning of the chapter that the Holy Spirit comes for the very first time in that way to a group of people, and the church is born. Peter steps up and preaches the message, the truth of Jesus, the gospel, if you will. And as he preaches, the Holy Spirit is at work already through the tongues that were spoken in different languages. And the Holy Spirit being at work through Peter and anointing him to give the message, and the church is born, and 3,000 people are saved in this one day. But what I love about chapter 2 is not just about the experiential. It's not just about the tangible ways that people heard of God. It's not just about the miraculous gifts or the miraculous things that can happen that really catch people's attention. It's the beauty of the dwelling together that comes at the end of Acts chapter 2. That they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And they met in their homes regularly. And they went to the temple daily. And daily people were adding to them. There were people being saved. There's a beautiful picture at the end of Acts chapter 2 and throughout that book of Acts where the church is growing exponentially. But more than anything, they're also growing deeper into Christ and deeper into relationship with each other. They didn't have all the other options. They had Jesus. That's a beautiful picture, I truly believe, of what God intends. Today, a friend of mine in the Kansas City, Missouri area will celebrate 10 years of a church plant. And when they named the church, they named it the First Century Church. Sounds kind of old, doesn't it? The First Century Church. Why did they name it that? Because they want to represent the picture of the body of Christ that comes from our first century scripture writings. They want to represent well the picture that God gave us as an example of being, truly being, the body of Christ. And the truth is, when it's all said and done as well, we need the strength of the body of Christ. There is strength in numbers. There's strength in togetherness. Now, don't worry. I did tell someone earlier today I was going to tie them up, but I'm really not going to do that today. Bob, come help me. Lon, come help me. Cornell, come help me a minute. Come on, guys. Dennis, would you come help me too, sir? These guys don't know what's going on, so we're in for a real treat. I want you to hold the end of that. And I'm so sorry, but somebody has to play the devil. So, yeah. Yeah, I want you guys, just for a moment, I want you three guys to stand right here. Lon, if you'll stand right there. Don't even hold the rope. Just stand right there. Cornell, I love you. Thanks for playing the enemy this morning. I appreciate it very much. You're going to help me, I promise. There's strength in numbers. Hebrews chapter 10 says that we should hold tightly to the faith that we profess. That we should not be able to be moved. In fact, Paul said in another place that we are to be unshakable, immovable. I find that in many people's personal relationship with God, they're in this tug of war, and they probably would tell you that. There is a real tug of war with the enemy. Hold tightly. This rope could break. I have no idea. I could go barreling down the steps before this is over. We're in this tug of war. And on a personal level, we have to be careful that we're not loosely holding the rope. That we're not loosely holding on to Jesus. That we're not turning our backs on God and getting caught up so much in other things that when the enemy pulls on the rope at you, that we can be pulled with it, or the truth can be pulled right out of our hearts. The same is true in this battle when it comes to us in the body of Christ. I get this visual that when I'm trying to pull by myself, it can get tiring. We can grow weary. We all deal with stuff in life. We all got to face a few things. And by myself, I'm not sure I can. Cornell could probably pull me down. But then there's some other people who come along in the body of Christ. Cornell, we're not going to pull you down, I promise. It's a little easier to pull when we're pulling the same direction. It's a little easier to pull. It's a little easier to pull when we're all pulling the same direction. And I was pulling by myself. He's really pulling. I ain't gonna. I was pulling by myself. And I wasn't sure I could pull, but you know what? My strength may be weary, but then there's some other people in the body of Christ. They come along and they start pulling with me. And then the enemy can't win. That threefold cord is not easily broken. I may be in the altar weeping. I may be struggling. I may be going through something and I can't pull it all by myself. But as part of the body of Christ, we can pull together. As the church, we can pull together. We can be comfort to one another. We can be strength and motivation and encouragement to say, hey, listen, I know it's hard. And I know that you don't have enough strength in and of yourself. But come on, I'm going to put my faith with yours, and we're going to believe together. Come on, we're going to pray together. Come on, we're going to touch God together. Come on, we're going to keep pulling. We're going to keep fighting. You're not alone in your corner. We're all in this thing together. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to be all about. Thanks, guys. Give it up for these guys. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to be all about. Listen, I hope you hear my heart today. I'm not suggesting you shouldn't be a part of any other group. But I am telling you, it's only within the body of Christ that you share the things in common we're talking about. People who are attuned to the Word. People who are given to prayer and seeking God. People who will be encouragement in the right things, not the wrong things. We need the church. We need Jesus. And Jesus wants to work in and through us. Now here's my prayer for you today. My prayer for you today is twofold. Number one, I challenge you to take an intentional next step in your life. Truth is, it'd be easy for you to come in and blend in and leave. The truth is, if you want to, you can come in and you can be in a service like this and you can get out the door as fast as you can. The truth is, you can be a part of EPAC and a decade from now, you can still know no other person if that's the way you want it. But if you want to live the way God intended and the depth that God intended and the picture of the first century church that He gave us in Acts chapter 2, and you want to live in a way that is encouraging to you in your life, then I'm challenging you to, just like you do in your journey with Jesus on a personal level, to take an intentional step to plug in and get connected with other people, to be a part of serving, to be a part of a life group, to do these things not because it just busies your life. I'm not looking to just pack your calendar. Listen, I'm with you. I got plenty of things on my calendar. I don't need just 47 other things. But what I would rather do is align myself with God and the body of Christ more than I align myself with every other thing, because I'm going to get more strength out of being aligned with God and the body of Christ than I am just aligned with everybody else in the world. I'm going to get more strength when I'm coming together in worship. And when somebody's speaking an encouraging word, I'm going to be able to battle together through these things because I'm part of the body of Christ, not just because I'm a part. Listen, my girls are involved in dance. I go to a dance studio two nights a week. It's horrible. Horrible. The whole time I've got my laptop and I'm just trying to work on something because I'm at a dance studio. I mean, you know, and I'm pretty sure I'm like one of the one male that's there, but I'm there and I'm like, okay. I love it that they're involved and they make friends. I think it's awesome that they make friends and they get to know their teachers, and these teachers are Christians, so they're very encouraging to the students. I think that's great. But at the end of the day, I want my family to have a love for the church. I want them to know that the strength that comes as we worship and pray and study and grow together. Yeah, you can have friends for sure. Sometimes they even invite some to church. But let's not get so busy in our calendar with all of those things that we get to a point that somehow the church takes a back seat. And we miss what we really need in the body of Christ. So your first step today, I hope, will be an intentional one. You can even stop by the hub today before you leave and say, hey, I'd like to know more about teams. I'd like to know more about groups. The second one is I'm praying that we share this heart today. I'm praying that we share a heart that says, bring us closer together, not further apart. Bind us, if you will, the old songwriter said, together. Today I've asked Pastor Nick and the team to come back and to lead us in a prayer of response through song. And it simply says, Holy Spirit, come. Work in us. Stir in us. That's what we need today. In fact, I'm reminded one more time of Hebrews chapter 10 that I quoted a moment ago, where it says we're not to give up the hope that we have, and that we're not to get caught up in getting pulled away, but that we should come together even more so as we see the day approaching. Now is not the time for us to fade away from the church. Scripture gives us indication that if time wasn't shortened, that everyone could be deceived. That's how strong the deception and the lies of the enemy are in this world today. But that we would be a people today who say, we're in alignment with God and part of the body of Christ, and we want to see God working in and through the body of Christ. We want to see the Holy Spirit at work. Would you stand to your feet today all across this room today?